The Lord is at Hand by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
All right. Philippians chapter 4. Brother Gary's read our text this morning. Actually, all we're going to do is take one little sentence out of that whole section. And you can find that sentence on the front of your bulletin. The Lord is at hand.
Amen.
The Lord is at hand. Let's go to the Lord right now and ask His guidance. Lord, guide us this morning. Help Your Word to come to life to each one of us. So desperately the world needs You.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray that hearts would be open and receptive to You, to Your truth, to Your Son. God, that we might be the people we need to be, to be the appropriate witnesses for You in this present age. Wrong seems so strong today. Rears its ugly head on every front. No place seems safe anymore. But Lord, we know You're with us. It matters not what Satan throws against us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and true in our part. God, we know we are not always what we ought to be, but Lord, help us have a desire to be what we ought to be. Lord, keep us and guide us each day. Help our hearts to be refreshed and renewed today from the truths we find in You, from the freedoms we can gain through You, from the strength we gain from You. Bless us and keep us and guide us. Teach us more about Yourself and what You have planned for us. We ask this all in Christ's name.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, Brother Gary read verse number 4 through 9. To me, it's very interesting that sandwiched in between all of these commandments or commands, look at it real quickly. Rejoice in the Lord. That's the first command. Our task is to be joyful in the fact that God is with us and that God loves us and cares for us. We've got a lot to rejoice in. That we have a Savior, first of all, who's provided salvation for us and for as many as shall receive Him. Praise God for that. Praise God for the opportunities we have at Christmas time. Because Christmas is that season when we, more than any other time, people, ordinary people, think a little bit about Christ. Just because the season is named as it is named, Christmas. Some people don't like that sound, though, either. Reminds me that Jesus, when He talked to the scribes and Pharisees, said, "You are of your father the devil. The devil comes to kill and destroy and maim and hurt and cause conflict and all kinds of suffering and misery in the world. That's the intent of a lot of people. Because Satan is behind it all. And he delights in getting people angry and to do things that they ought not to do. And Jesus, on the other hand, is loving and caring and kind and compassionate. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I'm certainly glad for that, because I've had times in my own personal life when I felt like I was all alone. But then I was reminded, no, you're not alone. I'm still with you. I'm carrying you through this difficult time.
Amen.
And so we look at these things. We have a lot of reason to rejoice because our Lord loves us. He's there for us. And we can approach His throne of grace. In fact, He encourages us to come. And by the way, let's skip down. That's not this one, but that really leads into verse 6. Don't be anxious about things in your life. Or the King James says, don't be careful. Don't be anxious or worrisome about those things that come into your life. And you know, there's a lot of things that get us worried, aren't they? I mean, we look at how things are going, and some of you got grandkids, and you're wondering, what in the world is going to happen with my kids, my grandkids, and the next generations? Things are getting worse. Well, you know, as God's people, we need to realize this world's not going to get better until Jesus comes. It's not going to get better. It has a malady that cannot be healed without Christ healing it.
Amen. Yep.
He's the only one who can take care of it. The problem is sin. When you really get right down to it. And the Lord is up to the challenge. So He says, don't. Basically, He puts it like this. Here's my modern vernacular. Don't worry your heads about this thing. You know, because we can sit there and worry, and worry ourselves sick, can't we? Yeah. About things we can do nothing about. But you know, there's somebody. We know, if we're a Christian, amen, that we can call on, and we know that He can work behind the scenes. In fact, He can even change hearts and move the minds of people to do things that they had never thought of before. I mean, He's shown us in the past the way that He can work. In the lives of people, maybe that are Christians, yes, but also in the lives of people that don't even know Him. He can guide them and direct them and cause them to do things that they didn't realize why they did it. But it's God behind the scenes working on the hearts and lives of men to accomplish His purposes. So don't be concerned about things you can't do anything about. Turn them over to the one who's able to do something about
it. Amen.
Look to the Lord and trust Him through it all. And you know what? Verse 7 happens, and then you get some peace about the situation, because you're not taking on God's job, you're taking on, letting Him take on His job. And then you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Keeps you focused right and going right. And above all things, we need to think on the right things, the good things. And that's what verse 8's about. You know, the virtuous things, the righteous things. As a man thinks in his heart, the Scripture says, so is he. You got to think right to do right. If you think wrong and you build bombs in your garage, what are you supposed to be going to do with a dozen IEDs? They just there for kicks? No. You intend to do some damage with them somewhere, somehow, somewhere. I don't need thousands of rounds of ammunition to go deer hunting. The interesting things about those rifles was this. They were all bought legally, but they set them up, so they're illegal. You know? The type of rifle you can buy in California is one that you can pull the trigger and it shoots. Pull the trigger and it shoots. Pull the trigger and it shoots. This one here was set up. So all you had to do is pull the trigger and it goes bang, 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 bang.
Machine gun.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
16.
Yeah. Military style rifle is what they turned it into.
Count of three, it shoots 20 rounds.
And so, man, you're spitting out there and if you're trained a little bit, you can do all kinds of collateral damage. And there was no good intent behind all that.
No.
And that's why I brought up what Jesus said. You can tell who's behind it all. The devil's behind it all.
Amen.
He intends to harm and maim and hurt as many people as he can in the process. But you know what? We have a God that's bigger than that. We've got a God who cares for us and loves us, and we got to put some of this stuff out of our mind. Because if we dwell on that, we'll become just like them. And we've got to think on the good and the wholesome and the righteous things, the things of the Lord, to keep us operating right in our present day. Because the world would point you the wrong way. There's a lot of things we can be disgruntled about. But you know what? Whenever I've got that way, I have to go back and say, you know what? It could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse. All I've got to do is go down to a hospital somewhere and walk in and see some little kids plugged up to all kinds of machines.
Yeah.
And think, what are you crying about, baby? You know? These little kids got something to complain about. But you could come in and you could maybe tell them a joke or something and you can make them smile and maybe you can give a little present or a little bit of your time and make their time of misery a little bit better. You know?
That same day in everyday life, as you walk, you can
meet. You'll meet somebody along the road.
Right in their day. Sure. A little bit
right along your path.
Amen.
That you can give them a reason to smile. And hopefully that reason is connected to Jesus.
Amen.
Because he'll give them a lifetime smile. In the face of all the adversity. So as you look at this text here this morning, look what's sandwiched right in the middle of that. And it'll begin to make you think, why is that there? Why is that there? The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. It's because that is a text that will get us on keel and remind us where we are in God's timetable. You see, there have to be certain things that precede the Lord's coming again. First of all, he had to come in the first place. But before he left this world, remember what he said to his disciples? John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you also believe in me, he said. In my Father's house. Now, some versions say rooms. I like the King James that says mansions. Mansions. And I think that way because, you know, God is not doing anything subpar. God's just not operating on that plane. And so, I like vengeance. Certain parts of certain cities have what I call mansions. You can drive down to Wichita, and we have more in the past because we've got a certain reason to go there. You got three kids living there. You tend to go there more often. So we've been down there, and I run by certain areas, and I drive along, and I read signs. And so this one area we were driving by, and of course, it was a gated community. You know, and you drive around, there's this big sign out front. It said, from 695,000.
Come on up.
Yeah, that's what it means. Homes from 695,000. I thought, yeah, that's a different class. That's a different class. I guess those are mansions in there. Any of you here afford that? I'm going to speak to you about tithing if you could. Because I guarantee if somebody that lived in there could afford that, would give enough to this church, if they tithed, that we'd double our money. Easily. Okay? That's where we're at, okay? So we're just poor folk here, okay? We're just poor folk here. But praise God, we're not poor in the Lord. Amen. We're not poor in the Lord. Because my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
Amen.
Amen. And he's able and he does supply all my need. That's one of those things we talked about earlier we don't have to worry about. But here in the middle of our text is this little sentence. The Lord is at hand. He's at hand. When Jesus, when he was going to come to this world, the people were expecting Messiah to come. They were. I'm serious. They were looking at all the signs. They were looking at the prophecies. They knew it was time. The time was come that the Christ should come. But they missed it. Why? Because they were looking for the wrong thing. You know, sometimes we have in our minds the way things ought to be. And we have it all planned out. We think, hey, this is the way it's going to happen. And the problem with the Jewish people in Christ's day, they were just as sure as the world that when Messiah showed up, He was going to free them from Rome. They were going to be free people themselves in that day, and they were going to rule and reign over the earth. They expected it. They believed it. They anticipated it. And so they were looking for that. They weren't looking for one who would come as a little baby and lay in a lowly manger. That's why when the Magi came, they came to the palace. Remember that? They came to the palace. Where would you expect the king to be? Well, they expected him in the palace. Those wise men used to did exactly what we did in that time. You know, God is showing them every step of the way. He gets them all the way to the Holy Land. And they stop about 10 miles short. Because, they say, I know exactly where to go now. I don't need to follow that star no more. Right? I know exactly where I need to go. I'll just stop right here in Jerusalem. And so they marched right in there, and they said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? And Herod got really confused and concerned about the deal, because he was king right then, and he didn't want anybody else to be king. And here's these guys from the east over there talking about a new king, born king of the Jews. Remember what happened to the wise men next? They took all this under consideration and went out and listened to God again, and were directed again by the star to the house where the young child was. See, they came along later. They didn't come the same night the shepherds did. You know, when we get our manger scene up here, usually we got the shepherds right up there close to them too. I mean, we got the shepherds there, and that's right. But we got the wise men up here. They'll be way off over here somewhere till later on. Amen? I mean, they didn't come till later. They were following the star, and the scripture says it came and it stood right over the place where the young child lied. It was in the house. Later on.
About 2 years.
Could have been. Yeah. Considerable time later. And that's the reason when Herod found out about it, he said, kill all the baby boys 2 years old or younger. Kill them all. He wanted to make sure he didn't have any competition.
Yep.
That there, of course, was the work of the devil too. You know, trying to destroy our Savior. But Christ came, didn't he? He grew up and he accomplished his ministry. He had his disciples gathered together, and praise God, in spite of them, God used them. You know, kind of like us sometimes, you know. In spite of us, God can use us if we're willing and let Him work through us. He can use us. And so right before Jesus said, I'm coming again. I've got this mansion I'm preparing for you. If I go and prepare that place, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So consequently, practically every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, guess what he has in there? The Lord's coming again. Some way, somehow. The Lord's coming again. Why? Because that encourages us to live right in the present day. Because they expected Him to come in that day. And if they expected Him to come there, the Lord's at hand, what ought we to expect today? More so. The day is closer than it ever has been. The Lord's coming just like He promised. The question to us is, are we ready? The day's at hand. I want us to go to Philippians chapter. No, that's not Philippians. Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me restate it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2. That's where I want to start this morning. You see, most of this book and the next, 2 Thessalonians, were written because there was confusion among the Thessalonian believers. Some had said and taught them that Christ had already come. And they supposed if He'd already come, we're in the tribulation. That's because of all these troubles. And Paul, of course, has to write to them to get them straightened out. And you notice it takes a couple of books to do it. Okay? One time is not sufficient. So he writes here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 these words. He says, for yourselves know perfectly. Wow, that's good, isn't it? He knows know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, how does a thief come? Does he announce his coming? Come up and he says, Harvey Ryan, I'm here to rob you. Is that where he comes? No, He probably sneaks around, and he might even say, "Is Harvey home?" "No, he's not home. I'll sneak out there,
swipe some,
and get something there. He's surely got something in that garage out there, right, Harvey?" "Yeah, he's got something out there, and several things probably out there." "Yeah, and so maybe I can get that by myself for $50, you know?" So the thief comes, he doesn't announce his calling, and says, "I'm here to take your stuff." He sneaks around, usually he waits till dark. Or, during the Christmas season, they had a ring of crooks down south of Hutchinson, and they cased out the place, and they found out all these people went to church Sunday morning. So guess when they decided to clean them out? Sunday morning. The good time to show up, isn't it? They're all in church down there, just like you folks are. Now, don't rush home real quick, because you're afraid of them thieves. God's going to take care of you, won't he?
Amen.
But anyway, that's what happened. The thief comes when you're not expecting him. And so the Word of God says, when Christ comes as a thief in the night, it means you don't know exactly when he's coming. And so you've got to be ready when? All the time. Be ready for those that would sneak up on you. But in this case, we need to be ready and living right when Christ comes. It'd be shameful if I wasn't living right and doing something wrong when Jesus came, wouldn't it?
You can always ask for forgiveness.
That's true. But it's sure a lot better if I don't have to ask forgiveness.
Well, you still got to answer.
Right, yeah. You got to answer. That's good. I like that. Lord is quick to forgive, isn't he? Long-suffering, patient,
Amen.
And kind.
Amen.
Wow, we need that grace and mercy he provides. But these believers knew the time was short. Now, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians now. And we're going to go over to, where do we want to go? Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2 is where we're going to start. He says, "You be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us." In other words, some are even writing letters what is that? Signing that Paul wrote it? Oh, that would be forgery, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Forging Paul's name on there and saying, "This is from the Apostle Paul." If they even do that, as the day of Christ is at hand, okay? "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there be a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." In other words, who opposes God, etc., who you suppose that is?
The devil.
Huh?
The devil.
Yeah, Antichrist, yep. Basically. He's the one that's going to come and he's going to set himself up and get all the people all stirred up. "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Okay? People, that's going to happen when Christ comes to this earth the second time. Okay? And he's going to come in judgment that time. I'm looking for another time when Jesus comes. Scripture talks about him coming in the air. Remember that? That's in Philippians chapter 4. Okay? "The Lord will come in the air and receive us up to himself and show so shall we ever be with the Lord." We look forward to that. Then happens the tribulation. Satan will set himself up. He'll sit on the new built temple there in Jerusalem. He'll say, "I'm God. Worship me." Okay? And you know, praise God, I believe God's people will be out before that happens. Because that's just according to the promises of God. And this one here will be there. The mystery of iniquity, it further says, already working in the world and trying to deceive even the very elect. Well, the elect, of course, is those who know the Lord as their personal Savior. And so he's working behind the scenes to get those things going. Christ will come in the air, I believe, and then he'll come again to this earth with his saints. We look forward to that day. Now, how do we know all these things? Well, let's go to the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22. And these are the promises of Christ. Verse 7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, this is easy to find. The last bit of your Bible, chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 7. "Behold, I come quickly." And then look down verse 12. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." You know, the Lord said, "I'm coming. I'm coming." Okay? And then let's go over to verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." In other words, I'm the God-man. And I testify these things. Then down in verse 20. Now this is getting awful close to the end of the book. Verse 20, because there's only one verse left. "He which testifieth these things saith." And your Bible, if it's red letter edition, it's got these next left words in red, because they're words of Christ. He says, "Surely I come quickly." And then John writes, "Amen," or "even so." And then the next thing John responds is, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And so John says, hey, the Lord's coming. The Lord's promised he's coming. And so what do all of these writers of the New Testament, after Jesus says all these things, what are they saying? The Lord's coming. Get ready. The Lord's at hand. When I look at this world, I know God's word's true. Because it says things will wax worse and worse to the end. Now people, I don't know how much worse it's got to get. But when people come up and shoot up a place that's trying to help people with disabilities, that's getting bad.
Party.
Huh?
At a Christmas party.
At a Christmas party, that's getting bad. And they haven't said this yet, but I think that very fact is part of the reason it was done.
Yeah.
They said that not the man, but the woman had written on Facebook that she was a jihadist.
Okay. Not surprised. The thing that surprises me, well, I guess it doesn't, because I've seen these actions continue the same way, is the leadership of our country fails, or seems like it's got blinders on, anything negative that comes out of the Muslim community. Bottom line, they are not for us. I don't care if they're peace-loving Muslims, they're not for us. They're against us. It goes clear back to Abraham, who had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And that controversy continues. That division is there. It's in the Middle East. It's all over the world. They want to control the world. It's working that way. And that's one of the reasons I have thought for some time now that Antichrist will come out of that region. He'll come out of the old revived Roman Empire. But as a confederacy of nations of 10 that were a part of that kingdom in the past. And it's called the toe, so it's not near the whole area, okay? And there are easily 10 Muslim nations in that region. And they are all diametrically opposed to Israel. They would love to see Israel wiped off the map. And I'm here this morning to tell you that before Jesus comes, it will look like they will get their way. But at the last moment, Jesus will step in. And when Jesus comes, they shall not be able to stand against Him. He will speak the word and their armies will die. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And He will rule and reign this world in peace one day. But there'll be no peace till Jesus comes. Things will get worse and worse. And I'm here also this morning to tell you, don't ever turn away from Israel. Don't ever, ever turn away from Israel. Because they have a special place in God's heart. He sent His Son through them. That's the only reason we've got a Savior. And if for no more reason than that, we ought to love them. And pray for the peace of Israel. And pray that they would come to Christ and recognize Him as Savior and Lord. Because the day is at hand. It's close. It's closer than it's ever been. It's the time to make peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is able for us to do that through.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Yes.
For His unspeakable gift. The Savior Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, we strayed a bit from the text. Considerable bit, but Lord, we think it's pertinent for the day. And Lord, You directed us that way, so it's what You wanted us to say. Help us, Lord, to receive Your truth, to have a heart for Your people of old, and more than that, have a heart that's turned toward You, Jesus, as our Savior and Lord. Might we point as many people as we can to You as Savior in these last days. We ask this and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.